I do have a New Year message and blessing for you. How'd you guess, right? Amen. And it starts in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. And if I had to title this message, I would title it An Apostolic Sending Charge. You've heard that word before this morning. An apostolic sending charge for your 2020 kingdom life. An apostolic kingdom charge for your 2020 kingdom life. Ephesians chapter 20, verses 20 through 21 in the New King James Version reads this way. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. I like that, to all generations forever and ever. I like that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. That says that God is bigger than you can think. Your God is bigger than you and I can think or imagine or dream. In fact, if you go to the Amplified Version of the Bible, it says this: now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this time together at Grace, with the Grace family this morning, and those, Lord, who may be listening online later this week as this message may be posted, all those who are in covenant with us, both here and near and far, we thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon them and a special charge today to recharge us and get us ready for the decade that is to come, and that we give an acknowledgement that what we're asking, you're able to do above that. What we're thinking, you're able to do above that. What we're imagining, what we're dreaming, you're able to do above that. And we thank you for a charge of power that works within us to see those things that are purposed in our life, that are written in the book concerning each and every one of us in the heavens, see that come to earth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, it's a new year, and it's a new decade. And like I said, I'm thankful for 2019. I wrote down in my notes, it was just a lot of fun and trials overcome. Amen. 19 was a bunch of fun and some trials overcome, and you're all here, praise the Lord. We didn't lose any of you. Glory to God. We leave nobody behind. You're all coming with us. Glory to God. And it was a practice year to prepare us for the glory of a new decade. The Church of Jesus Christ, both locally and globally, will accomplish more in the next decade than in all of its history before. Get ready to see God and his church do outstanding and remarkable things. If you can catch it, there's a general sense of hopefulness in the spirit. The world is giving up hope. The world is moving into fear. The world is moving in a totally different direction. It reminds me of the story of the widow of Nain. The city of Nain is on a hill, and the widow was coming down with her only son who was dead in the briar, and they were carrying the son downhill. The devil is always moving the crowd downhill. The culture of death is always spiraling down. They're always coming down from the city. But Jesus and his disciples are coming up. You see, they're the counterculture to the spirit of death. And as they approach, he sees the trouble, and he has a word. The word is, come alive. Come alive. Spread your wings, fly up, jump. If you're walking, start running. You know, there's a challenge to where you are, to where you need to be. It's the counterculture of the Spirit of God. When you look around and see things not right, God is trying to bubble up within your spirit and say, you are the counterculture. You're the Spirit of Christ. You're the Word of the Lord. Begin to speak exactly opposite what you see. Because what the devil is doing is exactly opposite my will. So we begin to speak to the cities of St. Joseph and Benton Harbor and Niles and Stevensville. We begin to speak to the counties of Berrien and Cask and around. We begin to speak to the state of Michigan that righteousness will begin to rule and reign, that thrones of iniquity are now being destroyed and turned over, and thrones of righteousness are being set up, and the righteous people of God, which are many in this region, are catching the flame of fire of the passion of God for the plumb line of the right ways of the Lord, and righteousness will rule and reign in our land once again, beginning in our own lives, in our own family, in our own church, and beyond that. Here, near, and far, the gospel message is now coming to another level and a new life. There's a spirit of hopefulness that's in the air if you can catch it. Sometimes people say, well, you know, there's a virus going around. You know. And I heard Brother Hagin say one time, I'll see if I can mimic his voice. Yeah, there's a virus going around, and it's going right around me. Glory to God. It's going right on around me. It's not going to land on me. It's not going to touch me. Glory to God. You know, we need some of that fire of those old preachers in us again. I'm getting to be one, aren't I? Hallelujah. So we're moving in a place where the spirit of fear is going around, but it's going around us. The spirit of terror is going around, but it's going around us. We're not receiving those messages from the devil. We're in the counterculture. We're looking at death coming, but we're life coming right at it. We will overcome those things that are coming at us. His church, the Lord's church, God is getting up to something really big. He's getting there's a passion in the Lord's heart. The Isaiah prophet says this, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. The excitement and power and passion of God for his people. God loves you. God loves me. God loves his church. And God's not going to let us fail. He's not going to let our light go out. He's not going to let it fold up. He's not going to let us get run over. I'm telling you, God's up to something big. How many feel it in your spirit? God's up to something really big. And we are that thing that he's up to. The church is his weapon of choice in the earth. He said this one thing, I will build my church. You know, of all the things the Lord of glory could be doing, he's building you and I, and he's building the family of God and the community of believers. You're going to hear this word community a lot. You're going to hear continuing in the apostles' doctrine. You're going to hear breaking of bread. You're going to hear in prayers. God wants to see you at meetings where the Bible is studied. God wants to see you and I together in Bible study. He wants to see us together in the breaking of bread. When we call a party here, even if it's a cleanup party, God wants to see you come. He wants to see you contribute. And if all you can do is hang out and say, you know, sit on the chair and say, well, go for it over there. Glory to God. Bring me some pizza too when you're done. You need to be together with the saints. And the much more so as the day approaches. The spirit of community and unity is abounding in the mind of God. And it's part of the hopefulness. If you want to be hopeful, you got to be with people who have hope. And I got some. And if you hang around me very long, I will tell you, there's hope for you. I can help you. The Lord can help you. You can't get in more trouble than me and Jesus can get you out of. We will find a way. We will pray in the Holy Ghost. We'll interpret our tongues. We'll find a plan. We'll get it on. We'll be together. We'll work together. We'll find the victory and move into it. Amen. So the church, that big thing that the Lord is up to, is awakening and rising in glory. God is rising up and strengthening all who will join in the fight. Oh, Brother Ron, I don't like to fight. Well, you came to the wrong family. You came to the wrong family. The family of God is a fighting family. It's just like Abraham of old. When Lot got in trouble, what did he do? They busted up their plowshares and they made them swords. He put together an army of his servants. There were sons, servants, and soldiers. You need to be able to switch hats and go to battle. Go to battle for Wendy Ferguson. She's on her way home not feeling well. We pray together. We prayed once. We can pray again. Why would you pray again? Because we can. I like that answer. We can do this. And she'll feel better. And she'll be back with us. And we're not taking no for an answer on your health either. Hallelujah. This is a season of conflict, of advancing the kingdom in our lives, and peace from our enemies as we take our promised possession. The primary conflict will be between our ears. The tough place is my thought life. Right in here, between here, right up here, is the battleground number one. There's several fields in this battle, in this war that's raging. But the first one is between my two ears. If he, meaning the Lord Jesus, if the Lord Jesus and your spirit man can win the battleground between your ears, then you and he can win it out there. There's nothing he can't do out there if he gets it done in here. And we begin to have understanding, revelation, comprehension. He'll make you think differently about who you are. Remember, I've said this over and over, but I'll repeat it again. He's messing with your identity, who you are in him. He's messing with your authority, the authority that you have in him. He's really working on your purpose to get your purpose in focus so that you know why you're here and what you're doing. He's working on your destiny so you know where you're going. And he's working on an understanding of the blessing of God on your life to perform all those things that he created you to do. You cannot do these things without him. But the good news is, how many have him? We have him. He's in us. And his name is mighty. His name is worthy of praise. There's a release of the song of the Lord in you. I talked about this morning in Sunday school class. But there's a release of raising a hallelujah in the midst of doubt and unbelief in the storm. That is a prophetic message from God. Get your praise on. I mean, remember the little boy, 9-year-old, Southwest Atlanta, grabbed from his driveway, thrown in a car, kidnapped. How'd he get loose? He sang. What did he sing? Hezekiah Walker's song, Every Praise. Not the Raise a Hallelujah, but Every Praise to our God. Da, da, da. Amen. And that little boy kept singing a praise song. And the kidnapper opened the door and threw him out. His deliverance came with a song. Your deliverance is going to come with a song. God's going to give you a song. And you can sit there and bite your lip, feel sorry for yourself, and God will just hang back and wait for you to get it. But there's a song that's coming, a deliverance song, and you'll sing your way out of everything. I'm just preaching. I'm declaring it. Psalm 113, if you haven't read it lately, get into it and read it. It starts out with hallelujah with an exclamation point, and it just goes on from there and gets gooder and gooder, as they say. Amen. There is an anointing in the Spirit, and I feel it falling upon you right now. There's an anointing in the Spirit of being on mission with God that is preparing us for war. There are battles to possess and places in the Spirit for us to sit with grace to rule as more than conquerors. I always wondered what more than conquerors were. Well, a conqueror takes possession. A ruler is more than a conqueror. We move into places that we haven't ruled before, and we begin to rule them. And like I say, your thought life's the first place. It's so good to be in a next glory of peace of mind and comfort. It's so important. I think that's the boiler coming on. So if I step over here and I turn that down a little bit, it won't do that. Praise God. I should remember to do that. It'll take a little while, but it'll settle down. This is a season of conflict, of advancing the kingdom in our lives, and peace from our enemies as we take our promised possession. The primary conflict is in our own minds. And when God begins to muse with you about how to think differently about any situation you're in, that's the beginning of your deliverance. He will win in us and through us great things we've never imagined, to establish his covenant in the earth, to demonstrate that our God is the one true God of the Holy Scriptures. Again, why is God so interested in doing remarkable things in the church? To make himself known. The reason I'm healed and healthy is not so I can watch the football playoffs. Although I do enjoy watching the football playoffs. I just enjoy seeing New England get beat. I can't help myself. There's a spirit of pride about those guys and bending the rules and everything else. I thought it was quite comical that a few games back, the New England coach found a loophole in the NFL rules, and he used the loophole to beat the competition. And last night, guess what the opposing team did? They used the same loophole on him. Ran out the clock and won the game. I thought, wow, those that live by the sword, die by the sword, you know. But how'd I get off on a thing like that? But God is winning the victories in us, not so we can watch another episode of Howdy Doody or whatever your favorite show is, but because he wants to demonstrate that he's God. When God does something in your life, be sure and tell someone else, how did that happen? They'll ask you, what's the reason for your joy? What's the reason for your jump? What's the reason for your running? I notice you've got something, there's something about you. I had two friends die in the last week. They both died of cancer. One was an old high school friend of mine. And one was a more recent friend that run the Express Employment Agency over here, Steve Murray. Reading both of their obituaries was starkly different. I attended Steve's funeral yesterday, and it was 2.5 hours of evangelism, of testifying what God can do in a life. A young man who now runs his business, his testimony was, I came into Steve's employment service hopeless. I was afraid that I couldn't care for my family. And Steve Murray looked at me and he said, there's hope for you, Ryan, and I can help you. Because you see, on October 15th, I think it was, 2010, Steve was flying in an airplane 30,000 feet, and he read a Josh McDowell book, More Than a Carpenter. And he had been an agnostic for 44 years up to that point. And the book convinced him, God is God. I don't know whether you'll write a book. Some of you are trying to get that done. I pray it'll be this year you'll get it published. Some of you are pastoring people at your work. I know my son does. Creating a work environment that's just markedly different than anything they've ever worked in. Sister Gloria is creating jobs where she is. Others of you are touching lives in different ways. But there's a testimony in your life that God wants to promote you and cause you to shine in this new decade in such a way that people will know, like I knew going to Steve Murray's funeral, I knew who his God was. I knew what his God could do. And Pastor Bubar stood up and he says, I'm under commandment from Steve to give the gospel message, make it clear, and give you an opportunity to make a decision to serve Christ. And he did. And he said, don't leave without talking to us. If you prayed that prayer, you got people saved. Hundreds of people there. And then I read the obituary of my friend that I'd known from high school. He and his wife ended up living here. Mary and I met with them. We called them when we found out. We read in the paper that they were had a certain job here. We called them and had dinner with them. And they wanted absolutely nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing. In fact, they were very insulting about it. And then later, she asked to be my Facebook friend, and his wife was really harassing me on Facebook every time I would have something about the scriptures or something. I mean, she'd just, I got another couple people like that now, but I haven't unfriended them yet. But she got to the place of belligerence that I just needed to unfriend her. And when I read her husband's obituary this week, it was sad. He was survived by this person, that person, the other person. The funeral's going to be at the funeral home. There's no connection to a church of faith. Nothing was mentioned about any of that. They were quite belligerent against anything religious. And I fear for where folks like that are ending up. We are entering into a place where God is calling people to himself. And people are going to have to make a decision. And I loved Pastor Bubar's message yesterday. It was very clear. We're not all children of God. We're all created by God, and we're all given a choice for salvation, but we're not all children of God. It's a time for the church to be very, very clear about the gospel message and what it means. And God is going to take you and I and promote us to places of influence where people who are being drawn to God by his Spirit are going to ask us, what is the reason for your joy? And tell us your secret sauce of life. And so that's why I say, he will win these great victories above what we're able to imagine or ask or think. And it'll be to demonstrate that he is the one true God of the Holy Scriptures, and there's no God like him. That's what we sang about this morning. I was singing about that song, Joy to the World. We sang it, a version of it. It was wonderful. It is the most famous Christian hymn. It's published more than any other in the 20th century. It's written by Isaac Watts in, I think, 1719, something like that. But there's a verse in there that goes, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. That's what you and I are going to be doing in the roaring 20s. Of this century. We are going to make the nations prove his truth and grace show them his love by demonstrating the kingdom of God wherever we go. His kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom for those who will enter the fight. Otherwise, the devil will just run over you and push you around. You won't have any rule or authority whatsoever. We're on a mission of increasing influence and rule, and then you might as well get ready for the backlash, because Psalm 2 is as real today as it was when it was written. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kingdoms of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's us and Jesus. We're the body of Christ, right? And this is what they say. Let us break their bands in pieces and cast away their cords from us. When you and I begin to push forward righteous laws, there is a group of people who will not like it one bit. And they'll push back. As we push forward truth based on Scripture, there are people who will not like it, and they'll push back, and they'll call us names. I posted on Facebook a scripture from Joel this week, and one of my old friends, who's a liberal hater of God and all things God, I think, but he's still on there. I snoozed him, but I didn't unfriend him. But he posted a Onward Christian Fascist link for me to read, and he would just like me to know that as I begin to push forward in righteousness, and as I ask for righteous laws to be established, as I ask you to consider voting for people who are friendly to the kingdom of God and who advance the purposes of the kingdom, as I touch on the issues of life and holiness and righteousness and godliness, you're going to get a backlash because they do not like us pushing back against them. And, you know, I'm not really trying to bind them. I'm just limiting their immoral behavior from influencing our public culture of godliness. I just really think the majority sets the laws. All laws represent the public's decision about morality. And, you know, that's kind of why bars and strip clubs are a certain distance from schools, right? We've been doing this for a while. We've been saying you can do things you want, but it's not going to be near where our children are. And, you know, you can do immoral things in private, but you can't do them in the public, and you can't teach them in our public schools. The strategy of appeasement has failed. You can see that in our global tension that we see now. And it's time for us not to be frightened, but to take courage and stand up for what is right. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be nasty. You can be kind. You can enforce as gently as possible. But the world's systems are underpinned by liars and lies, and they need to be limited by the force of righteousness by faith. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by God's voice. Love involves blessing and judgment directed by the Spirit. It is time for clear discerning of spirits and a time to give voice and action to what God is saying. The enemy of my soul is unrelenting. That's one thing you got to give the devil credit for, is he will not. He just push. I must consecrate myself for resisting him with courage and might. And this is the passage I posted on Facebook, Joel 3, 9 and 10. Proclaim this among the nations. Consecrate yourselves for war. Stir up the mighty men. Let the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior. You've heard me preach before on sons, servants, and soldiers. How many love to be sons and daughters of God? That's a good time, isn't it? I have times in my life, like probably this morning, where I'm basking in sonship. I'm not fighting anybody. I'm just chilling as a son of the living God. Sometimes I'm with Belinda and we're shopping for furniture. We're having a great time together. We're working on a project around the house. We're having people over, working with children. You know, these are great times of being moms and dads and family, and it's wonderful. And it's a good time. It's a God time. We need to take time and enjoy being sons and daughters of God. That's something we must do together. And then there's times of serving. I mean, we want to be a community-facing church. We want to do things in the community where we work and live to bless the people around us. And many of you already do, all of you do to some degree or another. But I know some of the things you do where you work and where you live, they're awesome. And so as servants of the Lord, that's an awesome, awesome, fun thing to do. I'm kind of serving the Lord today, right? As your senior pastor, I'm bringing you a word. This is great. It's great to be a son and daughter of the Lord. It's great to be servants of the Lord. But there is a time when we need to rise up and join the fight for the things that are righteous and good. And I really believe that part of the anointing that's coming on the church for the 20s is a spirit of identity as sons, a spirit of understanding we're unprofitable servants and how really to serve and to do something influential and significant and good for our community so that they know our God is the God. As sons and daughters, we want to exemplify the blessed of the Lord so they know we're the righteousness of God in Him. But also, there's a point where we need to be moving the righteous agenda of the Lord into the public discord, where we stand for what is right and that we proclaim among the nations, consecrate yourselves. Let the strong men say, I'm a warrior. Some can sit in peace, and some continue to serve, and some will fight. Whatever part of the body of Christ you engage in, I'm happy for you, and we need you. You're prepared for wars of 2020. And then to rule in peace established by strength. What you're always looking for is peace, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So we're not fighting because we like to fight. We're fighting to establish the rule and reign of the kingdom. Here's my word for 2020. I hear the Lord say, I'm leading my church in a remarkable decade of renown as the people whose God is the Lord. You will be known as the Lord's mighty ones because of the sign you will be to the world as you take your place on thrones of dominion with me in righteousness without compromise. You are my hymn and my song that I sing over the nations. You are that city I have pledged myself to, you're that city that I pledge myself to, where I choose to dwell and rule, and where the enemy cannot come. I will build my ruling people in my image, in ascending identity, authority, purpose, and destiny, filling them with the blessing of my Father to accomplish my will of reformation in their individual and corporate assignments. I will reveal John 6:28-29 at the next level of glory never seen on earth before this time. Then they will know that I am the Lord among those I have sent them to gather, my harvest of souls. And then I heard another voice saying, keep your eye on the harvest. If you do not end up in the harvest, you got lost on the way. The main thing is to find people who do not know Jesus and bring them to the Lord. And those who know the Christ, to bring them into discipleship. Those are the main things of what I believe the Lord is saying. You might say, what does John 6, 28 through 29 say? It says this, and they said unto him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Just believe in Jesus. Follow the voice of God. You'll not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Would you stand with me, please? This is a charge to you today for 2020. It is a charging of your battery in the promise of God and in the passion of the Lord. And this is what I wrote down. We decree over you for 2020 a glorious, victorious, and remarkably fruitful new year. If you want to, you can raise your hands and just receive this right now. We decree over you for 2020 a glorious, that means you're going to be filled with a new level of the glory of God, with a glorious, victorious, and remarkably fruitful. I mean, you're going to move into something above you've ever asked or dreamed or thought. Things are going to blow out on you. It's going to be a big blowout year. There's going to be things happen that you've never imagined were able to happen before. But you're going to have a glorious, victorious, and remarkably fruitful new year. We decree a happy and blessed new year to you and yours. And that's from Pastor Belinda and I. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, amen, thank you. Father, I charge your people right now with the anointing of the new season, the new decade. And Lord, I just praise you that we will see sons and daughters of God raised in newness of life and areas of remarkable renown that they've never seen before. There will be titles given to them. I see new titles given to you that you've not had before. New gifts and calling of God brought out that's never been before. New stations and places that God will set you and place you. Father, I just thank you that the sons and daughters of God are rising. I thank you for new levels of servanthood where our church is a community-facing church, that we put in ministries and there's action around our church that really the community knows we're here and they know why we're here and they know the blessing, the great blessing that the people of God are from this place to our communities. And we thank you, Lord, for warriors, ones that will stand up in the public discord and ones that will release the righteousness of God wherever they go. And I pray, God, that every family will see increase, increase, increase in Jesus' name for your glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6.
Everything under the earth and above the earth bows its name to King Jesus.